Well, it's lovely to be back here again. It's been some time, hasn't it? It's lovely to see your faces again. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Howell. I'm a training pastor from Cardiff. So thank you as well for freeing me from the lockdown there. I can come all the way up here and enjoy seeing you all and serving the church here. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 116, please. Psalm 116. Now, this being a Thanksgiving service, we're just going to consider two things together briefly. The first is the generosity of our God. And then we'll consider what we need to do about that. Okay? First of all, I want you to try your best to recall how you felt when you first realized that this virus was a real thing that's not going to stay in China or in London, but it's coming your way. Do you remember what that was like? I was anxious, were you? Were you frightened? You think about your family, your spouses. You think, perhaps I've already seen Mam and Dad for the last time, because now I'm locked down. It's frightening, wasn't it? Just think about our children. What will happen to them, my grandchildren? What sort of world will they grow up in? What about my church? Will church open again? That's the sort of place that David found himself, or the psalmist, when he said in verses 3 and 4, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol, the grave, they laid hold of me. Before he was in it, he was held on to by the pains of the grave. I found trouble and sorrow all around me. What did you do then? What did you do once you found anxiety and fear and trouble encroaching on your life and you can't escape it? What do you do? Didn't we pray? Weren't we driven to pray? Look at verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Save me. Protect my family. Save my church. Look after my children. Suddenly I feel so powerless to look after myself. How do I protect those who I love and those who depend on me? Didn't we pray like we've never prayed before? Didn't it feel real? We asked him, didn't we? We asked our God, our Father, to have mercy on us. It was so real for all of us. Now, I want to ask you a question. Remembering that time when there's fear, anxiety, and so we prayed and we asked God to be merciful, how much did our Father in heaven owe us at that moment in time? Not an ounce. Not even a little bit. Did he have to listen to us? He's God of heaven. What does he need us for and our prayers? We who've been here for a tiny breadth of time and he who is eternal. He doesn't have to listen to us, let alone answer. But he did. Look at verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. You know, while the Lord Jesus was running the world that he made, and keeping everything ticking over, keeping the bees on the flowers and the trees standing in their roots, keeping the sea at the line of the beach, keeping the ice in the ice caps, keeping control of everything, making sure the fires in America didn't go too far, while he was orchestrating a pandemic to go to just the right places at just the right time, while he was shaking the globe to wake us up, to call on him and be saved, he stopped and heard your prayer in your house. While you were trembling with fear and couldn't sleep, while the pains of death surrounded you, as Jesus was bringing his cosmic scale plan to pass over this globe, he heard you. He heard me. And he answered. Now, if I were to ask you over the last few months, because of this pandemic and the situation we find ourselves in, what have you lost? It may be that we've had losses. It may be that we've lost a sense of security. I've lost my confidence in social situations. I've lost my ease when I'm out of the house. I've lost my income or my job or all sorts of different things. But think of it this way. What haven't you lost? As far as I'm aware, we are all present and accounted for. The church is open. We get to sing. The spa next door is bursting, is fully stocked. The petrol is still in the car. The water is still running out of our taps. Our families are safe and sound. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. He heard our prayer and he answered our prayer. He has kept us in the most amazing way while the world has been brought to its knees in desperation. What do we lack? You know, some people, you know them. If you ask them for a fiver, you might get a fiver and no more. Do you know the sort of people I'm talking about? And they are loath to help people and share like that. And if they have to, they'll give a little bit. You know, our God's not like that. We cry out to him. We say, save me, spare me. And he spares us and our families and our jobs and our homes and our church and our country and our livelihood and all sorts of things. Look at that in verse 8. This was the psalmist's experience. For you, God, my Father, have delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What a privileged people we are to have a God to pray to who will hear our prayers and will answer them so abundantly according to his wisdom and his generosity and his kindness. All right then, so what do we do? Look at verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What shall we do? He who is eternal has blessed us according to his amazing riches. We who are nothing in the scale of history of this world, let alone in the scale of God. He's blessed us so much. What shall we do? Well, you know, when the shops were more open as they were and were putting out little tasters on the units and things, I don't know if they do that anymore. It's probably not health and safety. They might put a chocolate out there or a piece of cake or whatever it is, and they offer you some tasters. And, you know, you take a taster, and sometimes it just tastes so good, you have to get the whole cake. Do you know what I mean? You've had them where you just go, oh, I'll only have a little bit, and then you have four or five little bits. You know, sometimes it's like that. The Lord gives you a little blessing. He lets you taste his salvation. And we have to say, this is what we do. I want more of that. Give me it all. Let me have it all. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Let me have it all. This is the first thing we do, that we make like an only daughter who goes to dad, says, Dad, can I have a pound? And he gives her five. You know, that's how those relationships often work. Dad, can I have a tenner? Here's 20. Dad, I need you to help me pay my rent. Here's a house, you know. We need to make like that with the Lord. Look at verse 1. and 2. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my prayers. He's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. That's what we do. We say, Lord, I've called upon you, and now, because I've seen how generous you are, I won't stop. We must call on him forevermore. The life that the Lord Jesus has made for you, that he has given to you as a free gift, that he has sustained every day of your life until now, the life that he has preserved and saved just by the word of his power, just by his kindness. Give it to him. Give it all to him. Spend the rest of our lives now, we must, calling upon him, speaking to him, walking with him in verse 9. A moment ago, we asked the question, didn't we? What did God owe us when we asked him? What did he owe us? He owes us nothing at all. But what do we owe him? What do we owe him who made us, who kept us, who preserved us, heard our prayers and answered us and saved us and has blessed us so abundantly in this life? We owe him everything. We can't enrich him at all if we spent our whole selves for him. We couldn't begin to pay back the debt we owe. And so we must devote ourselves entirely to him. With great gratitude. That means praying to him, speaking to him. That means reading his word and feeding on that, saying, your word, this is life to me. This is food to me. It means singing to him, saying, I can't contain how grateful I am. I have to sing it to you. It means coming to church and praising him with all the other people who recognize him as their Father, their Savior, their King. What else do we do? 2 more things. And this one is the most important. Having tasted his salvation, take. Every drop of salvation that you can wring out of the mercy of our Father, you take it. Every drop. Look at verse 13. This is having been rescued, having been saved. The psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Having had salvation from him, take more. He is only generous. He will only give and give and give. So we must take it. All of these mercies and blessings that we've been talking about briefly, you know, they are pennies. Pennies compared to the riches that he has to give us. If we call on him and take. You know, not too long ago we had that Eat Out to Help Out scheme. Do you remember that? End of the days, yeah? How much did we take advantage of that while it was there? Going out all the time, weren't we? Well, this is what it's like with our God. He is generous and he has so much to give. So take it. In fact, you know, that's why our God is so generous. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's not for the sake of it, you know. If you were to look up Acts 14, verses 15 to 17. Actually, let's go there because it's so interesting, this. This is an insight to the generosity of our Father. Acts 14, it says here that Paul was preaching and he says, we're men with the same nature as you. He's preaching to them and he says, we preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did give us, he did good. He gave us rain from heaven. He gave us fruitful seasons. He filled our hearts with food and gladness. Why does God send rain and harvest? Why did he spare us when it could have been so different? We could, rather than being here, we could all be out the back. Why did he be so good to us? Why has he blessed us? It's so that we would turn to him for more. For more. You know, all of these blessings that we have now, they're nothing, really, compared to what he has to give us in his Son, Jesus Christ. You think that the years now of life that you have been given by God in his mercy sparing us, you think these years he's given, you think that's all he can give? In Jesus Christ, he gives us everlasting life if we come to him. He gives us a taste. He spares us death. Just a taste of his salvation. And so we come to him and we say, I want more. And we take more. I'll call on you all the days of my life. And we'll take more and more and more. And do you know what we find? He will spare us hell. He gives us a taste. He says, I'll give you a home to live in. And we say, this is so good for me. I want to come to you. I want to call upon you so I can thank you and take more. More and more of your generosity. And we find that in Christ, he gives us a home in glory. Why does he give all these good things? So that we come to him for more. Why does he give Jesus Christ to us? Ephesians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He gave us his only begotten Son so that he could give us everything else that he has to give. Everything. Having given up his only Son, won't he give us everything? The riches that we enjoy in this life point us to the riches that are to be found in Jesus Christ, just ready to be taken because of his grace. Take it. Take from God not just the wonderful things he has to give, the food, the drink, the car, the home, the family, the happiness, the laughs, the church. Take from him his only begotten Son. And with him, he will give you everything else. There's another verse to read from Acts, this time from chapter 17. And this is our third and final thing that we need to do now. First, we need to call on him for the rest of our life. Second, we need to take more from him, Jesus Christ, nothing more for him to give. And the third thing is found here in Acts 17 and verses 24 to 25. It says here that God has made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He gives everything that there is to have. Life, breath, movement, everything. It's all from him. So what can we possibly give to him? What do we do? We call on him. We take from him. And we thank him. We thank him. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will make a sacrifice of thanks. What else is there for us to do? When you think about how much we owe him, literally everything, how much he owes us, literally nothing, And how much greater he is than any of us, how can we possibly enrich him who owns and made all things, including ourselves, all that we have to give him, as if it even counts, is our thanks, our praise, our worship. And for him who has not spared his only son, but given him up for us, don't you think we should thank him and take from him all that he has to give, because he's a generous father, eager to give us all that he has in Christ. The last words of Psalm 116 are so fitting, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Praise him for all he's done for us and all he's spared us to. Praise him for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him for every spiritual blessing he gives us in Christ. Praise him for washing away my sin, sparing me death, sparing me hell. Praise him for giving me faith in Christ to go with all of the other things that he drowns me in his blessings. Praise him. Thanks be to his name. Amen.